the front of the altar here is booby-trapped with a beautiful plant that I will kill if I come out there, so perhaps I'll stay behind the amble for a change. So this gospel is about hearing and speaking. Jesus heals this man, and he does it in a very unusual way. Well, I'm Italian. I can't stay here. I'll stick close to the amble. I need the Bible today, actually. You know, he's going again to the Decapolis region. I like to point this out. This is a region you would recognize today as being the area around the Sea of Galilee, right below the Golan Heights. Then as now, it was an area that was a little bit dangerous for Jewish people to go to these days because it's been near a war zone in the past, which is why the Jews have been fighting over it. And in Jesus' day, it was a pagan area. The Romans had settled. It was filled with pagan temples. So when Jesus went there, he was trying to get away from the crowds who normally wouldn't go to that part of the lake. But nevertheless, there are crowds there. And Jesus, when he heals this man, he does it very, very unusually. You know, last week, Father John, my friend, was here. And perhaps he would have somebody come up to demonstrate this, but I'm not going to do that. But if you imagine yourself here, and Jesus is doing this. Now, picture what he's doing. It's no wonder he pulled this guy off to the side because it was so odd. The man can't hear, and therefore he speaks poorly because he's never heard speech done correctly. You know, we don't realize we're listening and picking things up as when we're young. So Jesus begins by putting his fingers in the man's ear. Imagine I'm anointing somebody. Which fingers did he use, do you think? They can't see that on the tape. It's just as well. And then he says, stick out your tongue. And he spits on it. I won't do that either, I promise you. But Jesus did. Remember, he's the author of life. He's spitting on this man's tongue, giving the power of speech to a being made of matter. It's just amazing, isn't it? And then he looks up to heaven, and he doesn't have to do this, but he does. He groans, "Ah," and he says, "Ephrata, be opened." That's an amazing performance. It's what it is. Perhaps because this man is maybe a pagan or a Jew living in an area where he should not be. So they require more theatrics in order for his edification. One thing we learn from this is that Jesus has a healing for all of us, but his relationship with you and I is unique. All of us are unique and eternal beings. Jesus doesn't use the same technique with any of us. Similar, but he has a different approach for everyone in the Bible, and sometimes he's more dramatic than at other times. You know, Jesus has a normal way of speaking. One of the things that he's talking about is hearing. We can have selective hearing. I've done many weddings, and one of the jokes I sometimes tell there is, you know, it's funny how, along with the normal effects of marriage, the sacrament of marriage, one thing I noticed that changes very quickly as a medical condition develops, and that one of the spouses immediately goes deaf in one ear right after the wedding. Can never figure out why that is. And the funny thing about this condition is that the ear changes depending on which one the spouse is trying to speak to. If the shoe fits, wear it, right? But what's funny about it is that it comes and goes, you know? And this is while that's a bit of a joke, there's an element of truth to it, and it's certainly true in my relationship with God, isn't it? We can turn a deaf ear to God, is what I mean. Take the second reading. How often I've wanted after Mass to have a poll that to ask all of you what the reading I didn't talk about was about, or did we have selective hearing? You know, we're in the middle of a capital campaign here. Now, suppose somebody gives $1 million. By the way, if you have that, please see me after Mass and put me out of my misery, would you? But a person that gives $1 million and one that can only afford 100, do we treat them differently here? No. In fact, I do sign the letters, but I'm telling you, I really, usually I don't look because It's just a policy I have. And it would be wrong to treat people differently depending on what they give. The Lord would not like that. It's a human tendency to pay more attention to people that are giving us more in life. And this is not the way God operates at all. He sees what we're all capable of and treats us all equally. This is the reading we're not talking about, but we can pay selective hearing. What's the normal ways that God speaks to us? The scriptures, church teaching, the catechism, our conscience. If my conscience is not formed right, I might not hear God correctly. He speaks through the circumstances and events of life, through my spouse, my school, my teachers, my friends, the people here, the people I run into. If we're not listening, he may turn up the volume because we're deaf in one ear. We've only got one lifetime, and it's very short. God must keep speaking, but he relies on a human ear to listen. We have the power to turn away, and we often do turn away. We must listen. And so God keeps coming back to us with one approach after the other, hoping that we will hear him, but it must be voluntary. We must go to the physician, we must ask for help, and then we must take the medicine he gives us. And it's not always pleasant medicine, is it? I hear God turning up the volume in the world today at large. I know all of you do too, don't you, in world events. It's because the world at large is not listening. If he's doing that in your life, perhaps we're not listening either. You know, so this is one of the messages, I think, is that do I have my own ears plugged up? But there's also the thing of speech. I'm always convicted when I hear these speech readings. You know, we spent the weekend praising God. I was at this charismatic convention. We've been going for 4 decades. And, you know, three days of praising the Lord. It's just a wonderful experience. And I kept thinking how funny it is how we do this, and yet we use our speech sometimes to hurt. And we get hurt by what people say, and we don't even realize it. I found that for several decades, I had the wrong impression about one of my former supervisors at the airline. I got corrected on it on this trip, and I thought, gosh, you know, I wonder if I spread that, and I didn't realize that it wasn't true. It's funny how things come back after several decades. God will point these out to us. You said this, and it wasn't accurate. Speech is something that the Lord speaks a lot about. How often I prayed for a healing of my laryngitis, when in fact, what God is more interested in is what's coming out of our mouths, you know? There are several ways that we can look at this. Father Ray Carey, who's has an office near Queen of Peace, is the resident psychologist priest of the diocese. He gives a class to the seminarians. One thing he said that I've never forgotten, he was speaking to us, teaching us about confidentiality. Priests learn a lot of things. We have to learn what not to say. But this is true for all of us. We all have knowledge that ought not to be shared. He had a line that I remember constantly. I wish I'd put it in the bulletin, but I didn't think of it 2 weeks ago when I wrote my column. He says, ask yourself before I say something, does the person I'm talking to have a right to know this? Or a need to know this? And if they don't, maybe I better not say it. Do they have a right to know or a need to know? How about that for a good rule of thumb? And the other one would be, if I'm speaking about someone, if they were behind me, would you want them to hear what I'm saying? Or if they walk in the room, do I quickly change the subject? Haven't we all been there? Do you ever wonder if somebody changed the subject when you walked in? That they have. Happens to me all the time. I don't have a spouse, so but I have all of you to correct me, but please don't do it all at once, you know. But this is a rule of thumb. I mean, the thing is, the Lord has told us what you have said in secret will be proclaimed from the rooftops. We're in an election year. I don't care what level you're looking at. There's a lot of misinformation being tossed around, isn't there? Because it works. Oh God, if only they would talk about the issues, but instead you have these smear campaigns that go on. But this happens in all areas of life. The water cooler at work, at school, there's always some kid they're picking on. Even at church sometimes, God forbid, but it does happen. There's three areas that that one can fall into. One is called slander. This is when I say something which may be true or untrue. It ought not to be said, and I've passed it on. I didn't do it deliberately to hurt, but it has the effect of damaging somebody's reputation. Maybe true, maybe not true. I didn't deliberately do it, but I participate in it. It's a very common problem that we have. Another one is called calumny. This is much more serious. Jesus was calumniated when he was put to death. These are things said deliberately, like perjury, to hurt, and it is intended to harm. Maybe true, maybe not, but I'm saying it to hurt the other person. And the third one is detraction. And detraction is something that is true but ought not to be said, and it damages someone's reputation. You know that old thing about if you open a feather pillow, you can't take the feathers back. It's easier to do that than to call back a word about someone which may haunt them the rest of their lives. Haven't we all been the subject of this? Haven't we all done it? And so God, just like in the Gospels here, we had a healing mass. Every year there's a healing mass. It just absolutely full church. It started at 10 o'clock at night. This is how desperate people are for healings. Is there not a person in the room that wouldn't like something healed? And yet, how many of us stand in line to be healed of these spiritual things which last forever? Not enough. I think speech sins are the most common we have, aside from sins of omission, what I didn't do for somebody, and yet one seldom hears it in confession. I had to check myself the whole time I was in L.A. because, I'm the only good driver in L.A. At least I was, but I reverted after a half hour there. I have to reprogram myself to people here do drive much better, kinder, I guess I should say. But we all have something that God challenges us. The thing about asking God to open my ears or my mouth, we can also be careful what we don't say, is that it may change our lives. If we hear, we might be converted, and this is a challenge. I want to finish with just a story I've mentioned before, but it's very powerful to me. We had a priest who has now passed away, Father Cielinski, is C-I-E-L, a little different than the spelling around here. And I remember I was a new priest, and a bunch of us were visiting him over at the priest retirement place over in Beaverton. We call that Jurassic Park in our amongst us priests. But anyway, as I get closer to moving in there, I don't think it's quite so funny anymore. But as a new priest, we're standing around talking, and there's a whole bunch of us. And we got onto a negative subject about one of my brethren priests. And I remember standing there with this group of priests there. Father was known as, they used to call him St. Cielinski, well, at least other parishioners did. And he was just a generous man with his time, But whenever a negative subject would come up, this is how he dealt with it. He just went silent. He didn't walk away. He didn't correct us. He didn't do anything, but he didn't participate at all. If he was asked his opinion, he just smiled or changed the subject. I can tell you after 5 or 10 minutes of that, it's very uncomfortable. And if you wanted to speak about that, one would either change, not speak about it in his presence, or not invite him to the conversation at all. And this is a way to evangelize without being dramatic. Oftentimes, the best witness is what we don't say rather than what we do. These are the hardest things in the whole world to do. It's a challenge I'm preaching to myself. So today we ask God in the readings, actually challenge us to offer our speech and our hearing to God that they may be healed physically, but especially what comes out, that we may learn to glorify God by our praise and thanksgiving of him and hearing his word and putting it into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.